Well, if there's lime to be spread, we're spreading it. If there's oil to be pumped, we're pumping it. If there's water to be hauled, we're hauling it. If there's shutters to be painted, we're painting them. We are busy.
If there's shingles to be replaced,
we're replacing them. Man, there's a lot that's happened here since we've been with you. This is a happy hour on a Wednesday evening, and I'm sure you guys are surprised to even see this pop up today. But you know what? We're going to have fun tonight. So this is the Bushels and Barrels program. I am Ryan Peter, Bushels and Barrels on TikTok and Twitter, as where you can find me. Joining me is, as usual, say hello, Jessica.
Hello, Jessica.
How's things been going?
Good.
We are beyond busy, and we apologize for not being here. And this show is on a whim. We're not, no planning. I don't have any articles or anything like that we're going to go over, but we will tell you a little bit about what's going on in our life right now.
Sure.
So what's going on in our life right now?
Well, I filled up the pool, so that was fun.
Yeah, we think the last freeze is over here in southeastern Illinois, in the greater Bone Gap area.
Yeah, I haven't taken any of the winterized stuff out of the pool yet, but I did fill it up.
Right.
That is one of the first steps that I have to take. I've taken off shutters. I painted shutters.
We had red shutters. She is turning them black.
They're like primitive maroon. And any woman that listens to the show knows exactly what I'm talking about. And our house is kind of a pale yellow and then this primitive maroon. So I'm in the process of painting those black.
As well as the front door.
Yes, I haven't. I'm nervous about the front door, but it'll be fine.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's going
to
be fine.
You know, since last time we talked to you people, we have some bad storms came through.
Bad storms. Took out a church's roof, took out some neighbors' roof.
Took out our roof.
Took out our kind roof. Kind of. Took out like, our furniture.
When I say take out our roof, I don't mean like it ripped it off, but.
Yeah, like the church down the road.
Yeah, but we've had shingles. Neighbors are finding shingles in their field. So like whenever Steckler spray, Jared's
really?
Like, yeah, he's like, dude, there's a lot of shingles out here. And then whenever his right-hand man, Dan, was out there planting beans the other day, he's like, he called me. He said, dude, there's all kinds of shingles out here. It's like, I know. Like half my roof is over there.
Yes.
So
they came and patched, and I think maybe this week, maybe next week, we'll get a new roof.
Yes. So. Yes, absolutely.
That was unexpected, but.
As for me farming, I haven't done a whole lot yet. The weather has been conducive to doing backhoe work for me. So I've been doing a lot of the work that most of the time you don't find time to do.
Mm-hmm.
Been doing a lot of that. But as I was doing that, you know, there's a lot of farmers out here that's worked dirt. They put on a lot of anhydrous in the past month. Planted some beans. The beans right around our house are planted and up.
Are they really?
Yes.
I haven't even paid attention.
Yes. They planted those the day that the Fighting a Lion, I got their asses railed by a Yukon. And that, so if you know what date that was, that would have had to been 3 weeks ago this coming Saturday. Well, these beans are up. They made it.
Yeah.
So I'm proud of them, of the beans. I'm proud of the farmers.
Yeah.
So.
I got sworn in tonight as a Lick Prairie Precinct Committee person.
That's right.
You can't say you, committeeman anymore. Right. You have to say committee person.
Committee person. So is the pronouns thing real even on the local level here in Wabash County?
That's an Illinois thing.
An Illinois thing.
Yeah. Can't use man or
you are woman. You are a precinct committee woman.
Nope.
And you are 100% woman, and that's what you identify as.
I'll take committeeman. Like, I'm okay with that. It doesn't offend me. But. Anyways.
You call yourself a committee person.
Yeah, well, that's what's on my oath. Yes.
That's the BS.
Yeah. It's crazy.
That is the BS.
Crazy. Anyway, what else is going on around here? We've had an eclipse. We went up to the Mount Carmel Municipal Airport.
For the eclipse. I've been training to fly.
You have been flying.
Which is another thing that's been taking some time out of this podcast.
And I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. If anybody was around you and they were like, man, Ryan's just a happy person. And then, you know, you go flying and then Ryan's a really happy person.
Well, it's such a challenge.
It's just so good to see you back in the saddle, I guess.
Trying. Yeah. Well, cutting out time to go do it.
Well, and that's the hardest part, I think, for you to do.
That's the hardest thing.
So I encourage you to go do that.
What did you think of the eclipse? Was it as big a deal as what they made it beforehand?
It was awesome, really. It was awesome. And there is no better place. I had such a great time. So Keith and Pleasant were up there, and And then the Illinois Aviation Society Club, whatever you guys have up there at the airport.
That would be the Mount Carmel Pilots Association.
Okay, whatever. I sure did.
You murdered that.
Yeah, I did. Anyways,
and I'm the one drinking beer, folks.
So we provided hot dogs and hamburgers for everybody. There were so many people from Wisconsin up there at the airport. We had some people from Atlanta.
North Carolina.
Springfield.
Nebraska.
Some guy from Champaign. It was just really cool. It was so cool. And there were so many different planes. And even if you're not a pilot like myself, you can appreciate aviation and just the passion that these people have. And everybody is genuine and nice. And
that's the truth.
You know, it's just everybody's just kind of just like us. You know, they work hard and then they, just awesome.
I'm going to say this out loud.
Okay. Go for it.
One of the things that, besides the fact you get in an airplane and you get above the ground and you can see for miles and miles and miles on a clear day, mm-hmm. I mean, that's cool in itself. One of the unintended consequences of me getting my pilot's license was the people I get to hang around. They're good people.
Mm-hmm.
They are hard workers who pull their own weight,
mm-hmm.
who have done well enough in life to be able to do it.
Yeah. And it's really, but I think that's a misconception too, is that aviation is so expensive.
Yeah, that
if
is.
You,
that
I
is.
Mean, if you go right. boating, you can go flying.
That's right.
For sure.
Yeah. If you have a boat, you can get a pilot. You can get your pilot's license.
Right.
You know, but the thing is, the caliber of person it takes no,
if you have a John Deere Gator, you can go flying.
That's right. Thank you.
I'm sorry.
I'm trying to figure out how to put this. I don't mean this rude whatsoever. Anybody can go buy a boat, get a couple licenses and stickers, and throw it on a lake, river, or pond, and go boating.
Mm-hmm. I guess anybody could, but it's like either you're good at it or you're not.
You don't have to get trained to do it.
That's
what
true.
I'm saying.
That's true. Yeah.
As to where with a pilot, they take that very seriously. You have to know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
For obvious reasons.
Are you qualified to, and I'm not asking for myself genuinely. I'm just, this just came to my head. If you got a DUI, would you be qualified to be a pilot?
From what I remember, and I didn't study this part closely.
Okay.
If you get a DUI while driving, it directly impacts your pilot's license.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
What if you are not a pilot yet, get a DUI when you're like 21, and then you want to go get a pilot's license?
That part I don't know.
Okay.
I don't have any idea. I can't even lie my way out of that one.
Okay.
So, whatever.
Yeah. Not that I have a DUI or that I'm planning on getting my pilot's license. I was just curious.
Right. Back to what we were saying, though. Mm. The caliber of people that were up there, just to be there at Mount Carmel Municipal Airport, that's KAJG, Alpha Juliet Golf, for those of you pilots in the audience. Just those people, you have to have special training to be there,
mm-hmm.
because you had to fly there and land. And it's nothing that makes a person special by doing it. But what's special is the fact that these people all put forth the effort to be able to fly there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got to meet them.
Yeah. And they were like, oh, this is the hub. And
yeah,
right here. The eclipse was so cool. I really think it was cool. There was like, I don't know how many minutes, 2 or 3 minutes. And you, me, and Alden were sitting on top of or standing on top of a diesel.
The jet fuel.
Aviation, avgas or whatever. And
the big jet fuel tank is where me and you and Alden stood there
and watched the horizon all the way around. We had almost a 360 view of everything and just flat ground. It was just beautiful.
Yeah.
I thought it was so cool. Now, I didn't cry or anything, but.
No.
It was really cool. And then all the planes taking off afterwards. It was just a really great day.
Yeah. Mount Carmel Airport, our little airport, had 56 planes fly in.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you that don't know, that's a massive amount of planes for our little airport.
There's never been that many planes there.
No, according to the elder pilots,
mm-hmm.
that there has never been. They've never seen that many planes in that airfield in their life. So it was just a great day. And then to meet these people was even better.
Mm-hmm. The guys who flew here, you know, brought their kids, and there's quite a few kids there. Pets. I saw a bunny rabbit also. She was a local, but some people drove in and parked their cars there at the airport, which is so cool. So anyway,
so I encourage it was awesome. I encourage any of you guys, if you want to be around some good people, even if you're not a pilot, just go to your local airport.
Yeah.
Because these little small airports, all they have, from what I've seen, is good people.
Mm-hmm.
And they're glad that you showed up, because mm-hmm. really not a whole lot of people show up there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to buy a plane ride, I'm sure they would take you on a plane ride in a little Cessna and show you around the place.
Sure.
If you want to start taking lessons, find an instructor. Most airports have an instructor, not all, but go do it. It's even if you don't complete the whole course, it's a challenge.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
that's cool.
Yeah.
It's really cool. I know how excited you were whenever you were studying for your license and stuff. So that was.
And now really I've cool. I've bitten off a whole nother animal here.
The airplane, you mean? It's yes. got retractable landing gear. It's
high horsepower engine.
Extra fuel tanks.
A propeller that I still don't understand what it does.
Oh, shoot.
Constant yeah. speed prop. I mean, I don't understand. Like, I understand it's kind of like a transmission, but this is how early I am mm-hmm. in the figuring it out part.
You're going to get it.
I will.
But and Ryan's a really good pilot.
It's going to take me a while.
Yeah. It'll be all right. It'll be all right. So we did that. What else have we done?
Work.
Yeah.
That's all we've been doing. I mean, I'm trying to think of why the past few Sundays we haven't made it here. We've had some intentions,
mm-hmm.
but then just shit happens.
Well, those domestics we had, you know, a few times.
Did mean you get in a fight on a Sunday? Didn't come
no.
I don't remember that.
I just always like to joke about it because
let everybody think.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't drop a podcast on Sunday. Must be because of fighting.
Yeah, there must be fighting. No. That is funny, though. Not really. It's not if that ever happens.
Tell you what, something else is going on around here.
Uh-oh.
The surveyors.
Are you going to bring it up?
Well, why not?
Okay.
We can talk about it.
Okay.
Do you not want to?
No, it's good.
Is it?
My heart is broken. And here's why. Because Ryan built this home with every single window has an amazing view.
On top of a hill.
On top of a hill. A very windy hill this spring.
Most hills are windy.
Well, we're extremely windy. Anyways, and go ahead. I can't even talk about it.
I think you're doing a great job.
So it's emotional for me. Not that I sat here and I, you know, designed every window to look out of, but he put thought and effort into every view. Okay. And today the CEO of a solar company was in our home. I brought him to
because you've been making phone calls.
I have been making phone calls, asking questions, and they get really interested when you start asking questions. And I'm talking, you talk to your state representative's office, you start asking those questions, you ask questions about health risks, then that raises even more flags, and then you start looking into Illinois law, and that raises even bigger flags. So I've got my own theory behind all this, but he was here today. I've gotten my hands on the county ordinances and their solar plans. What are we the only house here in a mile that this affects?
I don't know.
A mile.
1 mile to the west of us.
For sure.
I think that they're going to be affected by it. Not quite like we are, or could have been.
Okay.
And I say could have been.
Mm-hmm. We're on the highway and there's not a house that you can see direct. We don't have a neighbor. Honestly, like,
no, not really.
As far as, you know, you could throw a rock and hit them, or you're going to have to get some binoculars out and know what you're looking for to actually find a home, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Is that right?
I mean, for us to go see our neighbor, you get on your side by side.
Yeah. You don't just, yeah, I guess you could walk there. But anyways, so this is just kind of disheartening. And then there's rumors flying. Yeah, they're going to be right up next to your house. And then the surveyors show up and they're right here.
On our property line.
On our front door. were just at our, yeah, at our property line wanting to know if they could come up and measure against the house. And, you know, those guys are just contracted out. They have nothing to do with solar. They are just there to survey. And that's when you start just being like, huh, why are you surveying this field? This is right next to the house. And so then you just start asking questions and you get curious, I guess. I'm not super curious about solar. But my biggest thing is that I just do not believe that there's a climate crisis. I think it's just kind of a man-made ordeal. And when I think of green energy, I think of AOC. And if you know anything about AOC, you just say crazy eyes and Taco Bell. That's all I think of, you know? And I'm like, this can't be real life.
Right.
It can't. I mean, those girls are bullies up there, and she can't be real.
Yeah.
And it's really happening out our front door.
So basically, folks, what's going on is directly to the south of our home is my family's property. And we were approached by the solar company to lease and put so they could put solar panels up for 20 years. And we said no. But directly to the west, and I'm talking like 30 foot from our house.
If even
30 foot from our house is the property line. And our neighbors own that. And our neighbors are great people.
Yeah.
I really, really, really love my neighbors.
You went to high school.
I went to high school with Jared. He's a great guy.
Did you guys go to college together or did I make that up?
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Yes. I'm sorry. Yes, we went to college together.
Yeah, no, you did that Midwestern thing. Yeah.
Sorry, you from the South. Yes, we went to Carbondale together and everything. And I've known the Stecklers my entire life. They're good farmers, and I enjoy sitting here in this sunroom looking west out of the windows that I put in this house on the second floor to look over their tasseling corn to watch it grow all through the summer. I drink coffee in the morning, and I look out, and I watch their crop grow. Just like when I look south, I watch my crop grow. And, I mean, from where we're sitting, we have a 10,000-acre view at least.
Is it that much?
I mean, just because we're on top of this hill, it's hard telling how many acres, towards the horizon, how many acres I'm actually looking over.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I tell you what, it's enough acres that I have a pair of binoculars in this room.
Yeah.
And if I can catch something moving way, way down on the horizon, I grab the binoculars and try to figure out who it is, what field they're in, and what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, not that you do that often.
No, but I'm just saying like that's the kind of view that we have.
Yeah.
That's the beautiful view that God gave us right here.
Mm-hmm.
It's the whole reason I built the house right here. Because whenever my grandma had her house right here, which I tore down after she died, she had trees in the backyard. But whenever I was on the second floor of her house, I'll never forget walking up to one of those windows when the leaves were all off the tree in the middle of the winter. But I could see that view, and I thought, holy cow, that's something special.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Not many people get something like this. This is where I want to build my house, but I want to make sure that my sunroom is on the second floor so that no matter if there's the tallest of tall corn, I can see over it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the reason I built it here. So you guys can imagine whenever rumors started circulating, you know, these solar Nazis are in here and they're wanting to lease everything. And then they go talk to my dad about our family farm. And my dad said, no, get lost, in a polite way. But then I heard that our neighbors leased their ground.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, holy shit.
And you can't blame them.
No, these solar people are paying way more money right now anyway than what we could make growing a bushel of corn or beans. Right. It's the way it is.
Right.
And I am a staunch, firm believer in private property rights. And that is their private property. They can do whatever they want to with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to suffer the consequence. If I don't want to suffer the consequence, maybe I should offer to buy it from them.
Mm-hmm.
Or should have bought it a long time ago, which or some of my family. I mean, or should have considered that before I built my house.
But we did talk about, you know, we did have that conversation with Jared, or I did anyways.
Jared is the property owner to
not
the west
of have, us. Not that I have like control of the checkbook and said, hey, I'm going to buy this property from you, Jared. I want to make you an offer. I don't have that authority. but I'm like, hey, I'd like to have that. Because it's right out our door.
And he still knows that.
Oh, yeah. So, anyways, it got us talking.
So here's what happened. And they also own the property directly north across the road from our house. So basically, two sides of our house is covered by their property, and two sides of our house is covered by our property. And they lease the other side across the road from our house, and it's going to go into solar panels. But, you know, God bless a good neighbor and a good person who's considerate. And he told the solar company, you are not to build solar panels to the west of Ryan's house. Because I know that he's got a pool in his backyard. That's where he hangs out when he's relaxing. He's on his back porch looking south across 10,000 acres. And I don't want to destroy that view. And
we're so thankful.
Oh my God, I can't say it enough.
Today was the first day that we actually got confirmation from the company to say, there will not be anything. As long as we are leasing this ground, there will not be anything west of your house. So that was wonderful to see. And to see it in black and white was such a big deal.
Yeah, he brought in his iPad, or not iPad, but his laptop, whatever it is. fired it up, showed us the plat, and showed us where they're restricted from building them. And
right here at the house is where they're restricting.
And, you know, do I want to wake up every morning and whenever I pull in my driveway, I'm looking straight at solar panels? No, I don't. I don't, because I did enjoy sitting on the front porch of the house and watching their crops grow as well. Because I'm a farmer. I'm for a farmer. I mean, I like to see their good crops growing. And it's fun. And it's fun to watch the tractors go back and forth. Think of how many times in the past 5 years that Alden, when he hears a tractor rolling across the road, he runs to the front window and looks out.
Yeah, and now he goes to the front porch, opens the door, and just runs out on the sidewalk.
And just watches
towards
Highland Farms' equipment going. I mean, that he loves it. And that's the farm kid in him.
He sits there and watches them. Right. Yeah, absolutely. Right. Yeah, exactly. That's the farm kid in him.
And that will be no more. And it sucks. And I hate that. And that's the part I hate. But you know what? This is what private property rights are. And I'm glad that those guys have found a way to make some money with the ground. It sucks for us that we got to look to the north of our house and that's what we see. But at least they were so considerate to not do it to the west of our house to where we got a beautiful view. And you know, another thing that I got to thinking is Jess, these are first world problems.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Like, oh my God, are these first world problems?
But that's where we live in America, like the US of A, you know? Yeah. Still, in my opinion, do we have our problems? Abso-friggin-lutely. But this is God's green earth, and we don't have a climate crisis.
I agree.
And that's where all of this, quote, renewable energy is. It's all derived from
that
a fake made up crisis.
Yeah.
Where the government has the answer for you.
You're right. You're right. You're exactly right.
I mean, this company, he sat here and told us, you know, it's propped up 50% by taxes.
50% of the money that's going to go into making this happen is from the government.
And I would
from your tax dollars.
I would probably argue it's probably more than that. But
yeah, I mean, who cares? But if 50% doesn't piss you off, that's all there is to it.
Yeah.
Folks, you're paying for 50% of the next power plant that gets built. It's just this power plant is made out of solar.
So anyway, you don't have any right to say, hey, I don't want my tax dollars going to something that you haven't convinced me that this is even a real thing.
Right.
So one thing
that's a lot of your problem with it, right?
It really is, because it's every bit of the wind, the solar, and all that jazz is all based off of climate change and global warming, which you don't call it global warming, you call it climate change because it cools and it warms.
Yeah, they had to change the terminology.
Exactly,
right.
Exactly. So silly. So I just don't buy into it. And it's hard for me to be like, oh, okay. And whenever, you know, we were exporting oil for the first time in God knows how long when Trump was in office, that was a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, Yeah. It was a huge deal. And then it all of a sudden just got shut down.
Shut down and our reserve drained.
Yes. Yeah. So to me, it's more strategic. It's a bigger plan. But another thing, and you know, when I was talking to our representative's office yesterday, she's like, it gets me thinking about like the food supply, because this corn that you guys grow, it ends up somewhere in the food supply, right? And I said, I'm pretty sure that there's a lot of farmers right here that actually farm white corn for some tortillas or something.
Well, listen, even if it's yellow corn, you got to shove it through a chicken, a pig, or a cow. True.
It all goes to, it's all food supply. So I feel like that, I feel like there is a bigger plan that is just being, that maybe we don't, okay. So I sound like a super duper conspiracy theorist, right? Don't I?
Well,
I mean, I feel.
I don't think so. But for many people who don't pay attention, that live their life every day, you know, wake up, take their kids to school, go take them to practice and come back home and don't pay attention to this shit. Yeah, you sound like a weirdo.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're not, because I pay attention to this stuff just like you do.
Yeah. So I feel like this farm ground right here in Illinois, this prime time farm ground, is not prime time solar field farm.
Exactly.
It is prime time farm ground.
Yeah.
You know, that's, it's just, it is what it is. And for them to come in and want this ground so bad, they're going to pay the premiums that they're paying. There's just, to me, there's something else to it. And
well, it's the government money.
But you're taking away how many acres of farm ground?
Well, I get that.
And then you're and then you're even dwindling the generational farming down. You're taking away the ability for younger farmers to step in and take over. You know, their family.
You got to remember, and I have no idea what our neighbors.
No. And I'm not
game is. I have no idea.
Yeah.
But you got to remember, a lot of these people, and me and you know a few of them. Not our neighbors. I'm not talking about them. But we've talked to a few of them who have leased. Mm-hmm. Who are basically, in all other words, have said, these people are going to pay me 3 times more than what I can make per acre on this ground if I farm it, mm-hmm. so I can take that extra money and go buy more farm ground.
Mm-hmm.
That's their thinking and their logic. And it might work. I don't have any idea. All I can say is if you only own 1 acre and your neighbor owns 3 and it all goes into solar, who's going to have more money to pay for farm ground? The guy with 3 acres.
Yeah.
So did you really gain anything? Maybe so. I mean, obviously you're making more money per your acre.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
But my concern is I know how much I personally, it's work, but how much I personally love farming.
Mm-hmm.
And if I could end up with half, if, and this is a big if, half or 3/4 of all the acres that I farm and come 68, 70 years old, I'm going to step back. Mm-hmm. I own the ground. I could still receive an income off of it, but then my sons could as well. As to where if I put it all in solar panels, I guess I get all the income. I mean, at 68, do I say, okay, well, I'm 68, and since I screwed you out of being able to farm the ground, here, have 40% of this income.
Yeah.
I mean, you see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, I see the pros and cons. Here's the problem that I have with it. The basis, the foundation of solar farms is based off of a lie that has been sold to the American citizen.
So your two biggest problems with solar is, number one, you don't want to look out your window and see the damn panels whenever you could see corn and beans growing. And number two, it's all bullshit to begin with.
Yes.
Okay.
And then, as a byproduct, there's radiant heat that comes from these glass panels. You can't sit here in my home and tell me there's not going to be radiant heat when you have glass panels pointed directly at the sun 24 hours a day. And in the hottest day, you can't tell me that you're not going to feel some heat from that when you've got 1,000 panels sitting right here.
That guy claims no.
I don't believe it.
The CEO claims no. I'm not saying I believe him. I'm not saying I don't.
Okay,
we'll find out.
So then these people, which there's very few people that have panels all the way around their house. So what he's saying, and this is what I asked him, so you're telling me that these people that said it is extremely hot out here when the sun is shining. I can't cool my house down when the sun is shining.
Right.
I said, so those people are just making it up.
And he said, yeah.
He looked at me and he said, yes.
Yes, they're making it up.
So that blows my mind, number one. So I'm going to do some driving. They're going to get me some information. I'm going to figure out what.
When you say you're going to do some driving, what do you mean?
I'm going to drive to a solar farm. I may be going to Enfield, Illinois.
It's not very far away.
No, McLeansboro. There's a huge,
humongous one.
I might be going and knocking on doors, seeing what's going on down there. And
that's fine.
Just asking questions because
but
I don't
not
know.
Not to cause problems around here.
Absolutely
just
not.
Just to figure out what are they saying.
What and how is it going to affect us? You know, there was the concern of these panels coming right next to the house because they were surveying this ground right here. And so, you know, and I also think that some of these, there might be a clause in there saying that, yeah, we had that agreement, but right here I've got some wording that says I can do whatever I want whenever I want because I'm the boss.
See, I'm going to trust that's not going to happen.
But yeah, I just don't, to me, somebody who's trying to make a buck off of fraud is already dishonest. But that's where that and that's my found it. That well, is where my brain.
Okay. I see what you're saying. I want to ask you a question though. Trying to make a buck off of fraud.
Mm.
This solar company is playing within the rules.
Sure.
In the hand they've been dealt.
Yeah.
So are they fraudulent?
No. I mean, they've been in business for 2 years. I don't know. You tell me. And they're working on a $1 billion project.
Speaking of that.
You tell me, Ryan, and why as homeowners, residential, and farmers right here, why would they let us be considered, you know, whenever they're talking about what kind of fencing goes in front of our home? Why would they give us that option?
Because they want to keep us happy.
Uh-huh. Why? Why not just do whatever they want? Why?
See,
why take
this? This is where I'm not quite so cynical, I guess. This is where I'm like, there are still good people out there, sure. even if they work for
and
shit
I'm not,
that I don't really like. That doesn't mean they're all assholes.
I'm not saying that he is, and he's a super nice man.
He was a hell of a
This guy was so nice, and I told him multiple times that my problem is not with him personally at all. It's not with his company. It's not with anything. It's the fact of the matter. This foundation doesn't sit well with me. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Sure.
That's why I'm asking questions.
Well, not me either.
Yeah.
You remember whenever ethanol used to be the cleanest and best and everything?
Also, remember, my background is HR.
Okay, go ahead.
I've interviewed a lot of people.
Uh-huh.
And I just, the first thing, you know, the first time you get burned, you start learning personalities real fast.
Okay.
I'm just telling you. And I'm not saying that I don't, it's just one of my personality traits. And one thing that I've learned is that you just know how to read people.
So what'd you read out of this guy? I thought he was a hell of a nice guy.
Super nice guy, but he is in it for the benefit of his company.
That's his job.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That means that he will say whatever it takes to make us feel good.
That's his job.
Exactly.
Do you think I haven't had to do that whenever I've told somebody that I...
Doesn't have to be the truth. He can say whatever he wants to. Sure.
I just like to believe
everybody's in their car nodding their head agreeing with me right now.
You think so?
I like to think
this is one of the times that you think I'm naive.
No, I'm not saying that you're naive. You are the most naive person I know, I think. Absolutely. Yeah.
I am guilty of giving everyone the benefit of the doubt and thinking they're all good people. You're right. You are exactly right.
I'm like, as always.
Much shit that I can talk about other people. You are exactly right. When somebody comes up to me that has no idea who I am, you're exactly right. I really believe like this is an honest person with a good heart who just needs a little bit of help.
That's so true.
But you know what?
The guy is not out of gas. He's in a truck in a parking lot.
In a Walmart parking lot looking for money. He doesn't have a problem with gasoline. And I'm wanting to pull a 20 out of my pocket and give it to him.
Put your wallet away.
You know, one of the interesting things that guy said today, because we had him in the house, so I was going to ask him questions, even though we're not signed up for it. I want to know information. I mean, they're paying around about $1,000 an acre to these farmers to have their ground. Mm-hmm. And I say $1,000, that's per year. That would be the equivalent of their cash rent. And I said, what's an acre of solar panels, gross revenue? What's it going to make you? Because, shit, I have no reason not to ask him that because I'm not signed up with him. And he said $18,000. It didn't take him very long at all, and he rattled that off. Yep. $18,000. He acted like he did some calculations, and maybe he did.
Yeah.
So if he said 18, it's 36. Okay. You never, if you're in a, why you look at me like that?
Okay.
You never, if you're on that end of the bargaining,
you never give out.
You never say the high price. You say that if we're lucky, we might make 18,000. No, they're going to make 36 at least. That's it. End of story.
Twice as much.
Cut it in half.
Gotcha.
So okay. After 30, you know, instantly where my mind went, okay, cool. Well, you know what? I farm a lot of property, a lot of acres on 60-40. So I want my 40% of at least 18,000. Just what I was thinking.
Yeah. Okay.
That's maybe me being a capitalist or me being greedy. I don't know.
And he says like the 1 acre for ethanol is just, the numbers just don't even add up.
Okay. So yeah, this is where that part of the conversation went. So we got into ethanol and how I think that the government right now is trying to phase ethanol out. And it's through this carbon sequestration bullshit. They've suddenly come up with the idea that producing ethanol makes way too much carbon. So now we got to put it in a pipeline and go on. He did not argue with me at all.
He didn't say a word about what you had to say.
I could tell that he knew that I knew what I was talking about. I
know. Anyways, go on.
We got to talking about that. And what he said is, he said, you know, I ran the numbers. He said, I take a average corn crop and bushels per acre, and the number of gallons of ethanol that would make, put that in a car and send it down the road, and how many miles would you go? But then I take those same figures from a solar field charging an electric car, and how many miles would that car go? And it was exponential, how much farther the electric car would go.
What did versus F-150 Lightning?
I don't know, whatever it was. But he said that, and I'm like, you know, and I'm a polite guy. I'm not going to sit here and argue with him whenever I don't have facts and numbers in front of my face. But I'm sitting here going, now, wait a second. In my mind, I'm going, now, are you figuring this whenever it is 80 degrees outside? Or are you figuring this whenever it is 20 degrees outside? Because if it's only 20 degrees outside, your car ain't going nowhere if it's powered on electric. Go ask the people in Chicago last winter.
Go ask the people that were down here trying to get somewhere tooting around at 40 mile an hour.
There you go.
Here.
There you go. So, I mean, there's variables to all this crap. But I don't know. Like I said, I'm not slamming these people. They got a job to do, and their job is to surrender as much money as an acreage as they can to do what they want to do. And that guy he did a good job explaining every question that I had. He really did. And the one thing that I can tell you,
he just said, how many Ford F-150 Lightnings can we power down the road? And it lost me. Just about lost it.
You know something I thought about after he left? F-150 Lightnings.
Like, I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't know very many people other than farmers.
As he pulled in here in a gas guzzling pickup.
if Jeremy, if you've got your Chevy Volt, we're really excited for you. I don't know if that's what he wanted, or a Tesla or whatever, but to toot around with and play with. We're not making fun of you. Well, we kind of are, but it's okay.
Yeah, whatever.
It'll be fine.
Whatever. It's just, it's good.
It's just real funny.
Here's one thing that I know, or I've decided since this meeting today.
Mm-hmm.
The tentacles of electric power and solar are deep.
Deep. Yes.
Super deep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he sat right here and said, well, nobody in Illinois is going to vote against this. Brings too many jobs.
Yeah.
Nobody in Indiana is going to vote against it.
Do you know one of the reasons these are going over so good is one of the tax incentives they get whenever they build them are for prevailing wage.
Mm-hmm.
They have the people that build these things have to be paid prevailing wage. And I'm not sure what prevailing wage is, but I take a union times probably 1.5 or 2.
You think that much?
Oh, it'd have to be. Look that up real quick.
I'm going to look it up. And then what are you, what was your point?
Well,
the tax benefit?
Well, that's the way that they get one of the tax incentives to do the job.
Yeah.
Is they have to agree they're going to pay their employees X amount.
Hourly cash wages plus fringe benefits in Illinois.
Is?
I don't have a number. It's an average. Average of whatever everybody else makes in the same type of industry, which we don't have that industry here. So,
yeah. So what the hell is that going to be?
It's going to be well over $20+ an hour, guaranteed.
20? I bet you it's over.
Oh,
50.
I'm thinking 35 and above. But I'm just saying,
I'm thinking
like
55 and above.
You really are.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Absolutely. All paid more. I mean, at least 50% of it paid for by
taxpayers. Yep.
Yeah.
That's my biggest holdup.
That's the kick in the nuts. Yeah.
Yeah.
I
that's
agree.
The biggest holdup. I mean, you look at how much money we pay in taxes personally for the farm, for our oil, for, you know, the employment tax and the payroll taxes.
I figured it up. You ready?
What? You figured what up?
Taxes.
Okay.
If I work a 10-hour day tomorrow,
uh-huh.
I'm just talking about us personally. If I work a 10.5...
Based on the taxes that we paid last year,
yeah.
We just sent in.
You want a state, local, federal. If I work a 10-hour day tomorrow, the first 4 hours of my day is going to...
Free.
Government.
Mm.
That's why I try to make the first 4 hours of my day as little work, like physical as I can. I'm like, well, at least this ain't quite so bad. Then I go get in the grain bin and I scoop corn. At least that's for me.
Really making money, babe. Oh, shoot. So.
You know, okay, this is the reason I say, as much as I don't like it, and how do you stop it? It's voting. It's the only thing you can do. No matter what state you're in, what precinct you're in, it doesn't matter. You just have to vote.
Why, Ryan? It doesn't make a difference.
It does make a difference because all these little guys that you're voting for, I don't give a damn about the president. Mm-hmm. The president doesn't have, I mean, in all actuality, besides getting us in and out of wars, he doesn't have that much power. The House and the Senate has power, and then even more so in your local state House and your local state Senate has the power
mm-hmm.
for where you're at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, that's another thing.
Shit.
I've been on the phone. See, this whole conversation with me and all the red flags started when I called the county, the courthouse, and was asking about our tax assessment that happened on a farm, small farm that we purchased, what, 2 years now?
A year ago.
Anyway, so I was asking, there was a number on there, and I don't know what that number represented. I had no idea. The number went up.
But it went up.
Yeah. I just wanted
to. Grain prices went down.
I wanted to know what we were counting. What are we counting here? Is this acres? Is this square footage? Is this...
Yeah, it was just a number. It's an arbitrary number. Like, it went from 4,500 to 4,700, but we don't even know what the hell it means.
Yeah.
It's a 17-acre field, so I know it's not like $4,700 total tax for that 17 acres. You break that down, hell, it ain't worth farming.
They couldn't answer me. They had no idea. Well, these numbers come from the state of Illinois because the state of Illinois has some scientist who is appointed who supposedly does a soil test on all of these downstate. Anyway, so the rates are going up.
10%.
10% over the next, what?
10 years.
Two.
She said 10 years from what I heard.
She Am told I wrong? Me something different. No.
Okay.
I think it's 10% and then over the next 2 years. So we saw the 5% increase from last year.
Okay.
So they still couldn't tell me what this number represented. All they showed is that it went up 5%.
Well, the state of Illinois has decided that farmland in Illinois
is not paying enough in taxes.
It's not paying enough in taxes because it has, I mean, just magnificent value.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at it, now granted, we're in Illinois. We're in southeastern Illinois. We're not where it's
flat, black, and square.
You got a little bit of that around here, but nothing like they got around Decatur.
Yeah.
Champaign.
Yeah.
Peoria.
So downstate is what she said. Downstate is where they're going to try to make up some of this money, and that's where it's coming from.
So they're going to jack our rates.
Anyways, I said, oh, by the way, when we supposedly we might be getting solar panels around here, and I want to know what that's going to do to our property taxes. And she said, nothing. If anything, it's going to go up.
Well, yeah, right.
Well, what does that even mean? What do you mean it's going to go up? Because nobody's going to live here if we decide to move, if there's solar panels everywhere. Well, you might be surprised. I'm like, no, I don't buy into it. And then I said something about the, you know, our taxes going into, well, our county taxes don't pay for this solar farm. And I said, no, it's federal dollars that are subsidized that they get
end
it.
Up in the county.
Yeah. Well, yeah, through labor eventually. And all that, but whatever. Anyway, she had no idea what she was talking about. And so I started asking questions about solar, and she said, well, it's so good for the county. It's going to bring in such and such jobs. It's going to bring in all these taxes. And
that's what they always say.
And I'm like, okay, I'll believe it when I see it. And I wasn't rude or anything. And she said, you really need to call, see if you have any protections. You need to check with our county commissioners. And I'm like, oh, can you transfer me? No, they don't have any phone numbers. They've all got jobs. So I get on the phone. I get on the phone with some county commissioners, and I'm asking questions. And according to what I gathered is that they had stringent restrictions on what these solar companies could come in and do. If you've heard of a setback ordinance, it means that they can't start next to a property any closer than the setback ordinance, okay? X number of feet, an acre, whatever. So the county has to vote on it and agree to it. So they do. And I don't know, let's just say it was a mile from the first, you know, the closest residential. You had to be a mile away. Well, the state of Illinois says, that's too strict. So you're going to have to change it. And so I asked one of the commissioners the other day, I said, the power resides right here
in Wabash County.
Pritzker tried to mask everybody in the state. And guess who won in the court cases? The schools who stood up and said, Pritzker didn't have the power to tell us
what
to do. You're
talking during COVID.
Yeah, during COVID. I'm
so
sorry.
Why can't we apply these same?
Exactly. And I said, also, Pritzker said, we're banning all AR-15s and we're going to come and get them from your doors, period.
Sure.
And all the sheriff's departments are going to come do this and you're going to be in trouble if you don't turn them in. And our local sheriff says, absolutely not.
We're not coming to get them.
And then our state's attorney says, absolutely not. We're not going to prosecute anyone who does, if for some reason, gets arrested for this bogus law that
right.
Pritzker has. And I said, based off of my brain and my ignorance to county commissionering.
Sure.
I said, does this not apply to us right here, right now?
It should.
They have the power to say, no, you can't be within a resident. You can't be this close to. So anyways, this comes in from the state and says, no, you can only, I'm just pulling figures out. I'm not quoting anybody or anything. The furthest away you can be is 100 feet. And that has to be your rule.
Yeah. From
the property line. And so the Wabash County Commissioner said, well, if that's what you say we have to do, then we have to do it. I don't think that they're understanding that they have the power to make their own rules.
To push back.
Yeah.
Just like our kids are not going to wear masks whenever they go to school.
Right.
This is our school district, just like these county commissioners be like, this is our county.
Yeah, yeah.
If we want it to not be 100 foot, we want it to be 200 foot.
Yeah.
We push back.
You can do it.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We are the elected ones that represent these people mm-hmm. locally.
Yeah.
You don't from Springfield, Mr. Pritzker.
So here's something else that's interesting. The Farm Bureau, and I'm going to tell a story here.
The Illinois Farm Bureau.
The Illinois Farm Bureau.
Okay.
Comes in with their recommendations.
Oh
so
boy.
So they've got all their grass planting, everything. You know, the Farm Bureau is for the farmer, and they're
supposedly
they're coming in and they're saying, here's our recommendations based off of Illinois Farm Bureau. And so they take some of those, that information, and then they make their decision, their informed decision, right? Okay, I get that. Here's my problem. I just talked to a congresswoman who said that she's in D.C. She's
Mary Miller.
Kind of a big deal. So she's on every agriculture committee that there is in D.C., all right? The Farm Bureau is in D.C. for like 6 to 8 days. I can't remember.
Illinois Farm Bureau. Not Farm Bureau. Not National. Illinois Farm Bureau.
Illinois Farm Bureau is in D.C. for so many days. A week. Will not take a meeting with her. Period.
And she's a farm woman. Her husband farms.
Her family farms. Her whole
like they are nothing but a big farming operation. I shouldn't say big. I don't know how farmers. Big they are. But they're farmers. Yeah.
They would not take a meeting with her.
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
That's part of the Farm Bureau for you.
And I said, but if you're on all these committees, why wouldn't they take a meeting with you? Well, I have the Green New Deal. I don't know. You tell me. Why wouldn't the Farm Bureau want to meet with me?
Right.
While they're in D.C. and I'm here.
You would think they'd be super interested in that.
If they're for the farmer. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm disgusted anyways. So there's a lot more to, I've been on the phone for like 3 days straight.
You have.
I'll come to Ryan and I'll say, listen, there's a statute in the Illinois blah, 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 bylaws, yada, yada. And
yeah.
Right to Farm Act and
yeah.
Nuisance stuff and whatever. So I feel like I feel like this guy's being uberly nice to you for certain reasons.
Hey, he's got a job to do. He's got a job to do. His job is to make sure this happens.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not the type that's going to sit there and be rude to you unless you're rude to me. And he was not rude to me. I don't agree with anything they're doing.
Would you consider, you could have fooled me. I thought you were like the guy's best friend by the time he left.
Really?
You're just so nice to everybody.
I am a nice person. That's what I am.
I wear my feelings on my face. You're going to know exactly what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. It was hard to decide whether you were sad or a bitch. At certain points. And really? Rightfully so. Well, rightfully
hard.
So.
That's hard to hear coming from you.
No.
Because I'm fighting for
listen,
our homestead.
Rightfully so. And you think that he didn't recognize that?
Oh, yeah. No, he knows. He knows that I was he could tell that I was the one with the problem because he continued to look at me in the eye.
Exactly.
Respect me enough to look at me in the eye, make me feel comfortable enough. But remember, my job is HR, so I know all your tricks. So it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. And if administration changes, he said nobody's going to vote against it, so it doesn't matter. It's going to happen. But
this is what tells me this is so deep.
But
there's another thing that tells me that, too. We'll get to that in a second.
Okay. I just think that I think things could change any second. That's just my opinion.
Okay.
So.
Very well. I'm going to go grab a beer, and I'll be right back, and we will finish this up. All right. So I got my next beer.
Okay.
Because it's happy hour. The reason that I say that this solar stuff is here for a long time, maybe for good, but anyway, for a long time, is this gentleman divulged who some of his investors are in this company. And there was a name that he said that's humongous in the United States. It's the name Peabody. For those of you who don't know, Peabody, they are the Rockefellers of coal.
Yeah.
they're humongous in coal mining. Now, it's sold to the Chinese, and Peabody is now a Chinese company, if you didn't know.
I didn't know that.
Which is kind of concerning in itself.
Yeah. Going to take me down another rabbit hole.
But regardless, even no matter what, no matter if Peabody is owned by China or Peabody is still owned by the Peabody family, Peabody is a humongous coal name. Coal, mm-hmm. as in the coal you mine for a coal-fired power plant. That's the mm-hmm. whole reason they mine coal. And they're a huge investor in this particular solar field.
Mm-hmm. Financial backing.
And this is not the only solar field they're invested in with this particular company. So whenever these energy, quote-unquote, companies, like Peabody, who, I mean, their heart and soul has been in coal, are getting out of coal and going towards solar, whether you like it or not, what's it tell you? There are some deep, 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 deep roots that has been firmly mm-hmm. implanted in the U.S. government. Mm-hmm. This is not going to go away. These people are not stupid people. They're not. We can disagree with them, but they're not stupid people. And if a coal company is abandoning coal and going into solar, what's that tell everyone else? Coal's not the future. And we're in coal. That would be like Wabash 12 Oil, my little tiny oil company right here, getting rid of all my oil wells and going to wind. I mean, it's the same difference. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. That's whenever he told me, like, one of the main investors in all of this
is Peabody.
Is Peabody, a Chinese company, but used to be American. And as American as coal. I just was that without him saying a word, because I mean, he didn't have to. The mm-hmm. second I heard that last name, Peabody, I was like, that is an American, is American. That's a Rockefeller of coal. And they're going in on, so they're all in on solar, or at least partially in on solar.
So this problem is bigger than Wabash 12 Avenue.
Oh my God. Yeah. And like I said, and what scares me, and I said this in that TikTok me and you made a couple weeks ago, what scares me about it is you get people that deep and that big involved in all this. If me and you ever have a problem, let's say we lease to these people, mm-hmm. and you can have our real estate for the next 20 years, but come 20 years, or hell, even 10, they do something that we don't like, mm-hmm. and we're like, that's not in the contract, mm-hmm. and we go grab our one lawyer to fight them.
Yeah.
And they have this dream team of lawyers waiting on you.
Right.
Who's going to win?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that's a reason not to sign a contract or to sign a contract. I'm just saying, like, that's how deep this is. I'm going to make a prediction. These people that sign this stuff up, you'll never get your ground back. All you're going to get to do is drive by and say, I own that and I make money off of mm-hmm. it, but it's never going to be yours again.
And you know, this representative that I spoke with on the phone, she said there are people right now who have grabbed onto the solar for their residential properties, had them installed, and the companies have went broke, period. They can't get a hold of anybody. They can't get their electric subsidies. They can't get their, whatever they paid into their $10,000 to get it put on their roof, they'll never see that return. I'm not saying that that's what's going to happen to this company. I'm just saying, like, that's kind of sketchy.
Well, and the gentleman today said, we have to put up bonds to make sure that the place is cleaned up when we're all said and done.
But who's to say?
Well, I'm going to tell you something about bonds being in the oil field. Mm. Supposedly, you're supposed to put up a bond for every time you drill an oil well. That way, in case that, like I as a producer, I drill it, but then I walk away from it, the bond is to clean the mess up in case I do. The bond money's never there, ever. That's the reason you have all these oil wells out here that have not been pumped for 40 years, mm-hmm. and they're just holes in the ground standing in the middle of a farmer's field, because the bond that was supposed to clean them up, that money got spent on some piece of shit in Chicago that don't want to work, and that's his welfare money now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And now it's gone.
Yeah.
And what makes me think for a second that these quote unquote bonds
are going to be
federal
there.
Hands won't be the same thing.
Yeah.
But.
Oh, so this is what has been weighing this week, specifically this week.
This week, yeah.
Yeah. It's just been heavy on our heads and on our brains and our hearts and on our view.
Right.
We're just trying to soak in the last.
And you know, the guy was totally nice about like when he walked. So Jessica brought him upstairs in our house and showed him every window in our home.
I didn't bring him in our bedroom, but I mean, almost every single window that we have upstairs. Yes.
Yeah. And said, look at this view. Look at where we're at in this view. And like I said, folks, this is first world problems. But I'm going to tell you something here in a second that first world problems, but still you have to make decisions in life. But she brought him up here, showed him every damn room. I mean, what did he think? Did he care?
No. Uh-uh.
You don't think he cared?
No.
He's just like, oh, that's a nice view. Whatever. Let's go back downstairs and talk.
Yeah.
Really? That's
okay.
I didn't come upstairs whenever he came upstairs.
I said, here's my son's room and here's his windows. Here are his windows. Here's one. Here's another.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Come over here to the hallway. Beautiful view. Beautiful view. There's three windows right there in the hallway. It's a small hallway.
Right.
Full of windows. Come over here to the guest bedroom. Look at this view.
Yeah.
Look, you see the sunset in this one? See the sunrise over there?
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Come over here to our sunroom. This is the room that Ryan built. This is what we are losing.
This room is the where we are recording this podcast is our sunroom. And the whole reason I have this room is because of the view.
Because I wanted him to just, I don't care if he cared or not. I took him up here to show him I wanted him to see out every single one of those windows so that I could say, John, when you told me this, you came in my home, you looked out all my windows. And you saw what I was seeing.
You're saying if he reneges in the
future. If he ever says anything and that was another thing. Well, what happens if you leave this company and go find a better company? You know, that's my point. And then you've got this deal made. What happens? I mean, there's no answer because you don't know.
Right.
So anyway, and I'm done griping about it. I'm not complaining about our commissioners. I'm not complaining about, you know, this affects me out my front door. That's why it's so big right now.
Of course.
And that's it. It affects us because our taxes are not being represented the way that we believe that they should be.
The taxes we pay in.
Yes.
You're exactly right.
Yes. So
I would not agree to my tax money going to prop up anything like this. But neither would I for welfare. In all honesty, as a farmer, neither would I for ethanol. For those of you who are like, you're being a hypocrite here. You've got the benefits of ethanol because you sell corn.
Yeah. Huh. Well, I'm done griping. You know, our biggest fear was right here next to the house.
Which is not going to happen because we have good neighbors, not because of the solar company.
Exactly. Because they've surveyed it.
Yeah, they wanted to know. They know they've got that.
I called the head survey guy, and he knew exactly who I was. He knew exactly who Ryan was and that we were fifth-generation farmers. Like, what? They knew all about the Peter family farm.
It's part of doing good business is to know what you're dealing with.
Mm-hmm. It was odd.
You know, here's another question that I have. Okay, so folks, let's do an experiment here. And you can take your own home. Take your house, if you love your house, and you put it anywhere that you want it to be because you love that location, okay? And maybe it's because just the same reason that I love my location. It's nothing but farm fields. And I can look out over them and I can watch the crops grow. But take your house and you're like, that's the perfect place for my house. I'm going to plant that thing right here. Okay. Let's say that as you're looking for that perfect place and you're driving up and down country back roads and you're going past the shitty farmers who never raise good crops. So you're like, man, I don't want a house and have to look to that crap. Or you go past the landfill and you're like, well, hell, I'm not going to put my house right there.
Yeah, you get a south wind, that'd be pretty bad.
Yeah. And you go past the Mashoff hog facility. You know, you're not going to throw your house right beside it. Or most people wouldn't. Put it right beside theirs where you can smell hog manure all day. Mm-hmm. I want to ask you, as you're trying to pick where you're going to put your house, if you drive past a solar farm, are you going to set your house right there? You get to pick where it's at.
Mm-hmm.
I got a point to what I'm saying.
Okay, what's your point?
I built this house 13 years ago. When I built this house, there was no solar farm. There was nothing around it.
Mm-mm.
Which is that was a lovely part of this location. Mm-hmm. Granted, I didn't own all the farm ground around it. But that was a lovely part of it. I mean, just because you don't own ground doesn't mean you can't look across it. So when I built this house, I built it because I love the view. I love watching my crops grow. I love watching my neighbor's crops grow. Yeah. And now I built my house and I get to watch solar panels grow.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
So in hindsight, had the solar panels been there, would I have built my house right here?
No.
No.
Uh-uh.
So what do you think that should do to my real estate value of my home that I pay to the Wabash County every single year?
Yeah, down.
It should go down.
Yeah.
Because I can guarantee you, if you and I decided to move out tomorrow, and we say, piss on Illinois, we're going to Florida or going to Tennessee like everybody else is,
mm-hmm.
and we want to sell this house, I can guarantee them to you, automatically, because there's solar panels across the road from our house, and thank God not right beside it,
mm-hmm.
because of our good neighbors, but just being across the road, there's going to be a certain number of people that's going to go, I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to look at that shit.
Mm-hmm.
And every time you get one of the potential buyers out, that's less competition. Less competition drives price down.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to know, is my real estate taxes going to go down here in 2 years?
No, it won't.
That will be, honestly, that might be the fight and the lawyer that I take up. Not going to fight the solar panel, people. I can't do it. They're too big. Peabody is too big.
I don't know.
But our local government?
Yeah.
If they want to say that my house is worth X amount after this,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to say, no, it's not.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if it would be worth getting like an appraisal right now and then getting an appraisal afterwards.
Honestly, it couldn't hurt anything.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Might have to set that up.
But you know what you'd have to do? Factor in inflation. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's got to be relative.
Mm-hmm.
Because no matter what, I mean, if he says our house is worth $1 today,
mm-hmm.
it might be worth $106
the next time
just because of inflation.
Yeah, yeah.
But I want to know, because one thing I know for certain, people's not clamoring to build houses around solar fields.
No. No. So, do you remember when I asked him, why aren't we throwing solar panels in the desert? From what I remember, his answer was a non-answer.
No, it was an answer.
It was an answer of, we don't have infrastructure in the middle of the desert.
No, that's not what he said. That's not what he meant. That's not what he meant. Okay, so that's so far away from Illinois.
Mm.
You can't truck electricity, I say truck, through a wire. You can't push it from there to here because every mile that you push that electricity, you lose a little bit due to resistance. That's a factual thing. So, therefore, by the time you spend all the money out in Arizona to try to make the electricity to push it all the way to Illinois.
See, I think that's just a non-answer because they could put stations everywhere because that's what they're doing here. They're taking good farm ground and building up structures, just like what they could be doing in the desert. They're putting substations here.
I get what he's saying.
Yeah.
I get it.
I think it's a non-answer to answer.
That's cool.
You and I can disagree about that. That's fine. That's fine.
Because I don't even know what I'm talking about when it comes to solar and all that jazz.
And electricity.
I'm just now learning.
How you push it through a line.
Yeah.
I'm thinking a fluid through a line.
The farther you have to push it, the harder
it is to get it there.
That's foreign to me. Because if you can't get fiber here at our home, like all of our neighbors have, they won't run it to our home, or they didn't because we're like the only house right here. Well, how are they going to get that solar energy?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Good point.
I don't know.
Very good point.
I don't know because I don't know how it works, nor do I care because I think that there is not a climate crisis. So.
No. Once again, this is the bullshit about it all.
Yeah. And it's raining like cats and dogs in Dubai because of cloud seeding.
Cloud seeding, supposedly. Mm-hmm.
No, Dubai came out and did a massive report on cloud seeding, and their scientists and meteorologists who are like, yes, this is what we do. This is how we make it rain. This is to make sure that we get the vegetation that way. Yeah, it's a thing. It's a huge thing there. Now it just won't stop raining. They put too many seeds in the clouds.
You know, me and Tony has been going, well, we didn't go you, back and forth.
You and Tony.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be Tony Reed. Okay. Straightforward Farming Podcast, for those of you who don't know.
Okay.
We talked a little bit about this morning, and very little via text, because I said I think this cloud seeding stuff is a bunch of shit. I don't believe in it. And he said, no, it happened in Vietnam. And he cited something, and he sent me a blurb of it.
Yeah.
I was like, huh, I'll be damned. Maybe it is a little bit. But then my question is, in 2012, why didn't we just cloud seed?
Probably had to even out the market somehow.
Oh, so
you were the most naive person that I know. So
there's a conspiracy there.
I have no idea.
I just want to know if you can make it rain wherever you want to make it rain.
Sure, they can.
Then do it.
They no, because they're in control. They got the power.
You know, and I asked that to Tony, and Tony came back with, there has, from what he understands anyway, there has to be a certain amount of moisture already available, as to where in 2012 there was no moisture available anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know about cloud seeding.
Read into it.
All I know is whenever I'm a pilot and I fly up there in the air and I'm looking around and I'm like, man, this is a big ass place.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't imagine a few molecules, if I could do it, out of the tips of my wings would make a difference. I don't know.
You're also not a meteorologist, so.
I am not. I'm better than a
meteorologist. Oh, shoot. Well, I guess I better go make some supper.
How was that for a happy hour?
I think that was pretty good.
I do too.
I don't know. That was pretty passionate on my part, and I might sound stupid, but
you don't sound stupid.
I mean, it's
no. Your concerns are legit.
Mm.
I really believe
this
that.
This is another part of childhood that we didn't have to deal with growing up. You know, it was acid rain when we were growing up.
Ain't that
you know?
The
be
truth.
Be careful with acid rain. Like, when's the last death you heard from acid rain?
Never. Has there ever been one?
I don't think so.
Has there ever been a death from climate change?
I don't think so.
But this is all based on climate change.
Well.
You know, same with ethanol. Like I said, ethanol was supposed to be, we're going to save the environment, we're going to save the American farmer, and it's all going to go on. And now what's ethanol? It's awful. Ethanol's awful because it takes too much carbon to create.
You know, people are going to roll their eyes. Trump said something about nuclear and it being the safest energy that we have. It's just, there is such a negative connotation with my generation and probably yours.
Mine as well.
My mom and dad's. Nuclear is not the way, but it's
Chernobyl, Three Mile Island.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So there's such a negative connotation with it that I don't know, that's another thing.
Go ahead.
Okay, when I was talking with all these people these last few days, I was on a 6-foot ladder, and you were on your spray trailer, and I'm going, talking to this woman who's like the head of design for the solar company, and I'm asking these questions. I'm like depressed and upset and sad sounding on the phone because that was my plan. So anyways, I said, I just want to know more information about this because I don't know. I want to know about the heat that the ambient heat that comes off of these things. I want to know yada yada. And she said, well, that's a part of, you know, the misinformation campaign.
And the second that word came out.
And I just about fell off that ladder.
Misinformation.
What? You did not just use that nut.
Yeah.
She told me everything I needed to know right then and there.
Everything about COVID vaccines was misinformation.
Yep.
So they're right there.
Just you know, that one, it triggered me. So if I've ever been triggered, it was because of the word misinformation.
Right. Well, you know, a thing that triggered me today, just barely. I love the state of Texas. All you guys down, you Longhorns down there, I love you guys. I envy you. You red state, just strong people.
Yeah.
Love my friends from Texas.
Big, everything's bigger in Texas.
And there's a hell of a lot of people we got that listen to us from Texas. Mm. When this guy told me he was from Austin.
I thought, oh, okay. Like,
shit. You are the town that's ruining Texas. Ruining. Not saying that you are.
And blue. I hear that Austin is a super fun town. Like, right, maybe sure.
So. Big deal.
Yeah.
So is Nashville. Nashville's blue as hell.
Yeah. But anyway.
Just saying. Anyway. Just saying. Yeah. If we have to look at everything, we're going to look at everything.
Mm-hmm.
But.
It's true. So.
You ready to be done?
I think so.
Let's call it a day.
I'm ready to go eat something. And
me too. Well, we were raised on country. We're going to stay right here as country. We're going to look at our corn and our beans.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ is still our Savior. Yeah. Leah Thomas is always a boy. You were born an American.
Don't forget to be one.
Adios, folks. Little pickup truck on my highway. Got a little boot stomping my walk. Little neon light in my Friday. Got some Tennessee in my whiskey. Raise a cup of baby with me. I was raised on girl, raised on Lily. Got my honky tonk attitude from Joe Dippy. Daddy did too, it's family tradition. When someone cranks it up, you can't help but listen. My upbringing sounds like George Strait singing. And I gotta give props to the radio, cause if you know me, I was raised on country. Raised on country.